I've been in tech for over 20 years now, and sometimes I'm still the only female in the room at technical training. So how do we encourage girls to consider a career in tech? And how do we build a diverse and inclusive tech workforce that represents that diverse audience that's using our applications? Joining me is Anubha Maneshwar, who's done just that with GirlScript India. Welcome, Anubha.
Yeah, hello, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for joining me. So let's start at the very beginning. Why was GirlScript India started?
Yeah, so we didn't have anything in India which was mainly working towards tech education. And mainly if I talk about tier two and tier three cities, there was a huge gap from major cities capital cities of India. So we decided to bridge that gap and make technology reach everyone. The second point was a lot of females were not coming into tech. Like they were pursuing the tech degree, but actually if you talk about programming or if you talk about building something, so it was not happening on a major perspective. So these were the two main reasons: to reach out to all the underprivileged section, to reach out to everyone in tier two and tier three cities, and to bring out more female and more representation from underrepresented groups.
So how do you get started with a movement like that? Obviously, it's an idea and a passion that you have in your head, but how do you reach out to those communities if you don't already have that established network?
Yeah. So already, like, I was working with a lot of communities here in India. Although I used to travel to different cities, and I completely understand that many of the people in my surroundings couldn't do that. That's what encouraged me, like meeting other people, attending conferences, getting to know people and understanding what is happening outside on a major perspective globally. So I wanted to bring that scenario into local communities, and that was the major point of starting, where I started to build communities through establishing it in tier two city like Nagpur, which I am in right now, which has around 80 to 100 colleges, but still students in technology struggle a lot to cope up with what they need to do in their career and how to go about it. Yeah.
So it sounds like you already had some community interaction and you leveraged off those existing networks, but obviously identifying communities like our student partners are also a very important part of that equation. So take me through sort of the journey of GirlScript India. What sort of programs did you start running in the beginning, and how has that changed over time to the kinds of activities that you have now?
Yeah, so initially we just started with something which is majorly focusing on tech. Then we understood that there are many other skills related to technology, like you should be good in communicating with people, professional communication. If you are a developer, you should understand like what somebody else is telling you as a project requirement, and then you can work on it. Or if you are working with global teams in times like these, like remote work, work from home, so you need to be a proficient with communication skills as well. So we decided to incorporate a lot of skills, and then our organization transformed into an educational organization. First, we started just as a community. So we started in Nagpur, and we started gathering, like we started with a WordPress development workshop initially, which was our first event in 2017. And then we begin, and then we moved to different cities across India. Right now, our local community is present in 56 cities across India. Apart from that, then we realized that not only college students, but there are students from backgrounds like slum areas, or students who are underprivileged, whose life can be changed through technology because they cannot afford to have a degree. But somebody who knows how to operate a computer can definitely go and get a job somewhere. So this is how our perspective has evolved throughout the years. And then we decided to not only help slum students, people who cannot pay to afford the online classes or any of the classes, places. And then we also decided to help those who were from non-technical backgrounds in a company. For example, they are working in a BPO or a call center or something, and then they want to come to tech, or if they are from a completely like different background and then they want to switch their careers. So why not help these people as well? So our mission is to help beginners, doesn't matter what background they come from or what city or what country they come from, but we try to incorporate them together and give them a direction so that then they can utilize the better opportunities available in outside work and build their and shape up their career. Yeah.
There are just so many important points to unpack in what you've just said. I love the fact that you've started off with a technology base for people who want to learn those tech skills, but you've expanded out into the other skills that someone needs to be successful in a technology career, because you're absolutely right. It's not just about the depth of your technical knowledge. And then to go and embrace beginners and people who haven't traditionally gone down that university computer science route is also super exciting to me, because a lot of people are looking at tech as a career, not necessarily as their first career. It may be that they have had a career in a completely different field. And so many women that I talk to especially weren't going to go into a tech career. They've done something else and they've decided to give it a try and to look at that change. And it's a really daunting field. I think for someone who's not in the industry, it's kind of up there with like scientists in terms of it seems like this really complicated thing and everybody knows what they're talking about and how could I ever learn and sort of get up to that skill level. So I really love the fact that you've embraced that side of things as well. And you've also expanded with those programs outside of the scope of just women in tech, haven't you?
Yeah. So what we decided initially, so it was my project, like GirlScript was my project initially, and I started it as a project because that was the time when I was in eighth semester of my college and I was graduating from engineering. So I started it as a student project and I decided to help women mainly, and that's why I named it GirlScript. But then I realized that men also in smaller cities need help, or anyone from underrepresented sections, LGBTQ, everybody needs equally help if we talk about smaller cities, because there is no opportunity there. So what we decided is we kept the name feminine so that female feel confident of registering for some of the programs. And then we decided to take in some everyone from other genders as well. So now we have 50-50 ratio of both men and women and all other people from LGBTQ and other sections. So so that's how we decided to maintain the diversity. Like, we decided to keep the name feminine so that people from underrepresented section feel more confident about it. But the males, because they saw the programs were really good, so they were also interested to join in and support the organization. So initially, it was a major drawback of keeping such a name and just doing it for women. But later on, like, men were not ashamed to take up and work for an organization like GirlScript, and then they decided to join in and be equal representatives in the organization. So right now we have everyone in our organization working towards tech education.
That's fantastic. So tell me some of the challenges that you've had to face. And I know that kind of as you've expanded, you've got different challenges that I wouldn't experience if I was setting up, say, in the major cities of Australia here.
So the major challenge initially was acceptance towards the organization, because me being young and coming from myself coming from a tier two city, like, people were not ready to accept the organization as whole. The second challenge was obviously name, because a lot of people got confused whether it is for females only or anyone can participate. So we had to tell them that no matter what the name is, but you cannot judge anything on the basis of name. You can participate anyhow. So that was one of the major things, but definitely we were able to maintain that ratio and get more people on board. The third thing is mainly when we started and went to the slum areas or people from underrepresented backgrounds. So to make their parents understand, because they think that playing with a laptop or having a mobile phone is something like a curse in India. So like, we have to tell them that with a laptop, with a computer, with a mobile phone, with a tablet, you can actually change your lives, like how internet can help you. So we decided to, show them how these things work. So initially, you just not have to deal with the learners, but you have to convince their parents as well that these things which your children are doing is extremely important and definitely can help in changing their lives forever. And it's just not a plaything. So, these were, I think, few of the challenges.
That's a very important point too, because I think that for people, especially parents who don't have a technology background, there seems to be this thing around screen time that it's bad, that we shouldn't be spending too much time on devices. And obviously there is a balance between when we use technology and when we're encouraging our kids to go out and do some physical activity or connect in person with their friends when they can. But when we start to flip it and turn it around and say, what are we doing with those devices? When is it just consumption? When are we just sitting like zoning out, watching videos and not actually participating? But when we actually see what people are doing with this as a tool, as a creation tool to go and use their imagination and to build amazing things, I can understand how that would be a challenge to get that benefit across to parents who aren't used to being able to do that with technology.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you've personally found growing this organization? Are you still doing this all by yourself? Do you have some sort of business aspects to it that you have to worry about as well as all of the other great events and things that you do?
So initially, like for 1 year, I was doing it alone, and then few of my friends joined in, because initially when you start something, there are immediate people around you who become like first collaborators in your project. So a few of my friends joined in, and then now we are around 15 people full time, and we have around 2,000 volunteers across India who are working towards the cause, who are part of the team and work remotely with us throughout the year. Regarding the business perspective, definitely, if you tell someone that we are a nonprofit, so in India you have a very typical mindset. If you talk about nonprofit, like they think that we cannot charge money. They think that we cannot charge for our services, and it's a major drawback that you have to make them understand that nonprofits can also have salaries. Like if we are working for full time, like we need to also fulfill the needs of our family. So definitely we are looking to create another profit based model of it, where we'll be charging people directly, so that we don't have to explain people why we are doing the nonprofit thing, and then we'll sort of push all the monetary amounts generated from that initiative to the foundation, and so that we can accelerate all the activities. So definitely we are looking forward, but we have decided to keep 1/5 of the market cost, because we understand that students cannot pay so much of money, and we have decided to give them benefits which are not available right now and customize it. So basically customization in education is very important. Like you, maybe sitting at Australia, or me at India, like we have different calibers of learning. So that's why, like, I believe we will introduce more customization with our future programs, and then we will create it as a service. And some parts we will sell it as commercial, and then majority part will still be nonprofit, and we'll not be charging anything. It will be free of cost, available for anyone. Yeah.
It sounds like a real balance to get right, to make sure that you are able to do something that you're so passionate about at a price point or free that's affordable for the people who need it, but still, you know, you keep yourself in and your own family supported. And that 2,000 volunteers, like that number just blew my mind. That's amazing that so many people have latched onto this as an important thing. Just to wrap up, can you tell us, do you have sort of any advice or any resources? If I'm sitting there at home and I've heard your story and I'm now inspired to go and do something in my own local community, what advice would you give me, or what things would you tell me to go and look at?
So I'll just quickly tell three things. First, make a vision board. Make a board that describes like how you see yourself in next upcoming time, so that you can work towards it. Even if it sounds really unrealistic, just go for it. The second thing is go out in public, attend events, or if there is something happening, and ask as many questions possible. Like get a mentor, maybe online or offline, because right now you cannot go to offline events. So offline, try to find mentors on platforms like LinkedIn, and then ask as many questions possible. Once you start asking questions, you will start getting responses from right type of people, and definitely you will succeed. So get a mentor, ask them for resources, ask as many questions possible, and make a vision board so that you can make it a reality.
That's awesome. Anuba, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for hosting me.
Our pleasure. I want to encourage everyone to go and check out their website at www.girlscript.tech.